Welcome to the Leon Fontaine Podcast, Senior Pastor of Springs Church and CEO of Miracle Channel. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, welcome everybody. This morning we want to welcome everyone joining us by television, all the other campuses of Springs Church. Hey, I'm going to just preach a message. I never know if it's a series or not. But today I want to talk to you about people getting into your head. I want to talk to you about mind games. I want to talk to you about obsessions. I want to talk to you about thinking. I want to talk to you about stuff that so few people know how to handle. People get funky ideas in their head, and then they begin to think on it, focus on it. Then they become obsessed with it, and you've got a person whose life is totally controlled. They are literally now have a stronghold. They literally now are controlled by an outside force, an outside idea. We live in a culture where people pride themselves at being good at mind games. And although it sounds trivial, although it sounds funny and like, I'm going to get better at it than you and I'm going to get in your head, there's a master player. You know, it's fun watching the youth when you go on a Friday night and you see all these guys talking about who they're playing. They're playing against somebody around the world on this game and that game, and it's all these gamers. Everything's about gamers. And what's funny is there's guys my age that, I mean, hours upon hours, their wife is saying, you know, come talk to me. But he's there gaming, competing, trying to. And the best gamer for mind games is Lucifer. Okay, and so we're going to unveil some stuff here. In fact, my goal today is to help you develop the skill of casting your care, the skill that Satan can't stand against. There's a skill, that a blessing that Christians have. And I'm calling it a skill because too many Christians just read the red, pray for power, and God's going to look after it. And that's not true. The Bible's very clear. Study to show yourself approved unto God as a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, and rightly divide the word of truth. Buried in the Bible is the most incredible stuff. The other day I was going through some stuff on psychology and listening to some of what they say are the most brilliant minds that ever wrote books on human psyche, and something that's, and some of these people are studied by universities. And then you read this person's life, how demonized they were, how evil they were, how sexually messed up they were. But they had this brain that was able to dive deep and unearth principles of the mind, the subconscious, the psyche, that everyone is just in awe of, and they think it's truth because it seems to make sense. But we have forgotten that Lucifer, this fallen angel, who is the father of lies, has spent thousands of years getting into people's head. He got into Eve's head. He got into Adam's head too, but doesn't, you know, that's a whole nother story as to why he would pick wife over God. Why he didn't stand strong, be a man, and say, all right, let's talk here. Instead of just, yes, dear. Whole nother topic. We live in a world where you've got to understand that for someone to go kill people, something got into their head. For someone to go wipe out a school, something is playing mind games with that head. For someone to give up a family, their kids, for someone to begin to destroy their own marriage with thoughts that are ridiculous, but they're so obsessed they can't seem to break free. And I'm talking about born-again, spirit-filled Christians. That they have not understood this area of the mind. And so, by no means is this going to be an exhaustive teaching today, but I'm going to touch enough stuff that some of you who know the word dive in and make sure that this is an area that you become good at. We play mind games with each other. Some of us are unaware of it, okay? Marriage is all about control until you learn to change your mindset on it. Because for you to have your needs met, for you to have the things you desire and what you see in a marriage, and if it's not there, and so you begin to talk, and the talking goes nowhere, and so you begin to manipulate, because manipulation gets you somewhere. And even if you get your way, and you begin to get into that spouse's head, and you begin to move them in the direction that you want, you think you're winning. But even the, sorry for my language, but even the dumbest spouse on the planet will eventually feel violated. They'll feel betrayed. They will feel, something's going wrong here. I don't like what I'm in the middle of. So to win is not to win. The enemy, how do you play mind games with somebody who's been around for thousands of years, the same guy that played mind games with Eve, the same guy that played mind games with Nimrod, the same guy that played mind games with Jesus, the same guy that took on, and you know, he's training and as a demonic force. You know, when you study the Bible, and especially in this New Testament, because the Old Testament is so silent about daily demonic interference. Interesting point when you go through the Old Covenant. You know, other than verses on his prophetic verses on his beginnings and where he comes from, we have no real good examples of what it looks like daily to deal with the enemy in the Old Testament. But as soon as Jesus comes on the scene, complete things change. They cry out, they say things, they do things. He deals with them, the apostles deal with them, and some people get so demon-minded that it's just a complete waste of time. There's no such thing as deliverance ministries. That's ridiculous. Sorry. So I'm trying to bring a balanced approach to a topic that I hope will help you, and for every mile of truth, there's 2 miles of ditch, and you're either going to ignore him and not even know he's got you obsessed on non-truths, got you thinking in areas that are wrong. He's got someone playing mind games with you, or he is, or you're on the other side. You're so demon-minded, and remember, there's a big difference today, as you hear me teach, there's a big difference on everything that I teach between aware and focus. Let's clear that up. To be aware of something is important. To be aware of somebody's shortcomings, to be aware of the things that could go wrong, to be aware of the weaknesses that you have, to be aware of the negative side is crucial. Otherwise, you're naive. I'd never want you in leadership if you're naive. Anybody can manipulate you. Anybody can play mind games with you. Your own kids will take you out. So we need to be aware, but not focused on it. Focus is very clear in the Word. You focus on Jesus. You focus on His Word. You're aware of all the stuff. You're aware of the battles. You're aware of the weaknesses. You're aware of enemies. You're aware of people coming against you. You're aware of someone to abuse you. You're aware of someone setting up to take things. You're aware, but the focus has to be different than the awareness. So you're not naive. You're aware and focused. Always think that way as you go into the Word of God. Now, your mind, when you do not know how to control your mind is easily taken over by anybody else with an agenda or by the enemy. And so you begin to become anxious. When you cannot control your own thought processes, when you cannot control your reasoning, your emotions, what happens is nothing goes good positively. By default, you'll go negative. By default, you will simply begin to allow thoughts to come in that will own you. And so the first thing I'm going to cover is in 1 Peter 5, 7 to 8, it shows you how to begin to restore your mind. Oh, Leon, you're making it sound like I don't control my mind. Going by stats, most here don't. Okay? You know, most people can't focus for 30 seconds on one thing without their mind wandering. They're so out of control with their mind. So, come on, I don't believe that. Okay. 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000. I've only done 7 seconds. And you're already had how many thoughts go through. That's not, like, just this unawareness of your own thought processes People are unaware of where their beliefs come from. People are unaware of why they think the way they do about their spouse, why you treat the kids the way you do because of fearful belief systems, etc., etc. So it says in 1 Peter 5, 7, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on Him. For He cares for you affectionately, and He cares about you watchfully. All right? This is talking about a word, cares. And so many people have not understood this. It's like, it's a prayer. Cast your cares, cast your cares. Just cast your cares on Him. People don't know how. People don't understand that that's not a prayer. That's actually talking about an entire teaching set of how to have the mind of Christ, how to control your own thinking, how to develop an ability through the Word to literally be in control of the negative emotions and not them controlling you, not allowing the mind games of people in your world to get into your head, or the enemy, the master of this game, the greatest gamer on the planet until Jesus, who's amazing at destroying, killing. How does He do it? Head games. How does He do it? Mind games. Then it goes on to say, but be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind, be vigilant, cautious at all times, for that enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion, roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. Stop right there. Whoa, we're talking about our head, now you're talking about the devil, because this is how he works. Everybody thinks the big bad devil comes in and does stuff. You know, the big bad devil shoots a thought and starts the process. Nobody goes and murders someone and goes, oh, all of a sudden I had an idea, I'm gonna kill the guy. Oh no, there have been months, years of a thought process that continues to own him, till an obsession about how he deals with people and how he handles his anger and how he gets things out on people begins to rise up. And the enemy knows how to feed it and bring it and feed it and raise it up till he's got a tool in his hands to go do something. And not only for murder, there are people who will rise up and take on churches, take on pastors, take on you, take on your business. And say, and you go, what is going on? What is with this person? When people begin to give in to the beliefs, the stuff that comes at them, the enemy has plans. And these plans work in this way. So it says here that after you're talking about cares and anxieties and worries and concerns and all this stuff, now it says, so, because the enemy is like a roaring lion. He's walking around. He's coming to break your mind down. It's the only way to get through you, because your spirit's full of Holy Spirit. Your body's just a suit. But your mind is making all decisions. The battlefield is the mind. The battlefield is the obsessive beliefs about things that you believe, which will control your entire life, all your relationships, how you handle money, how you look at leadership, what you think about, what you feel you can do, etc. Whether you become a manipulator, whether you become a person who just does whatever they want to get ahead, and you've got all these other excuses. It all comes down to this area. Then it says, withstand him in that same scripture. Withstand him. Who are we talking about? The devil. What are we talking about? Your head, the mind games. Withstand him. Be firm in the faith. Then it says, against his onset, rooted, established, strong, immovable, determined. Knowing that the same identical sufferings are appointed to your brotherhood, the whole body of Christians throughout the world. People take this verse and go, see, sufferings from God. Get into context. The suffering is the constant barrage on your head, the constant mind games that rise up. You know, if you think that little negative voice in your head is you, then who's listening? Good thought. A born-again believer who has followed the teachings of Christ ought to have a mind so clear and a purpose and a focus so amazing that the enemy can't get past this phenomenal shield, this armor, and they can walk and move and sense and hear and know at a level that the planet has never seen before. It's almost like this is a godchild. The whole planet of believers, he's going to be at war with their thinking. But now, listen to me, the whole planet of unbelievers, he's after their minds too, because he has no ability to express himself and his will. So he must work through the beliefs of a country, a planet. I wasn't going to go this way, but I feel like I should. When you get into the Word, Satan is not omnipresent. He's only in one place at one time. We know he's got different levels of demons. We've got powers, principalities, etc. We know through the study of the Old Testament, they even have territories that they focus on and look at. And so it says that Pergamos in the book of Revelation was the seat of Satan himself. There was a reason why he was in that city trying to manipulate the minds of the leaders of that time. If you're going to be the devil and the world doesn't want to believe in him, the devil, take a look. Some of these leaders have killed 30 million of their own people. Hello. Like, I am not embarrassed of what I believe and what the Word says. You ought to see the stupidest beliefs the planet's got about all this stuff. Okay? So, if you're the devil, whose mind are you going to work on? What are you going to be focused on? The most powerful individuals on the planet that are shaping beliefs, shaping your world. They're going to be in politics. They're going to be in money. They're going to be in Hollywood because movies are determining the entire culture of the world. Doesn't matter what city I go to in the world. It's amazing. Everybody's wearing jeans, dress shoes, or runners, a jacket. Just the style is around the planet because every city is listening. They all know who the stars are. They all understand the language of Hollywood, even though it's transcribed or it's put into their language. The culture of Hollywood, the morals of Hollywood, what they believe, what they think, etc. It is literally just sweeping the world. That is why TV is so important to us here at Springs. You don't have a voice unless you are on a television platform speaking something and on all the other platforms that are there. This emerging generation is all these emerging platforms. For us to just do church services and go, why is Leon so into TV? You know, what's this issue about? Can we just get back to church? Listen, church's job is to reach the nation with every kind of thing we can. If you want to know who's seen more souls won to the kingdom and doesn't even serve Jesus Christ, I'd say Bill Gates. Computer programs, all the stuff he's designed, invented, that gives us access to the gospel and translating it and sending it and doing it. You know, they think they're just making money and just helping people communicate. But smart churches and those who are leaders in the kingdom, they don't sit around playing church and just setting up blue chairs and just doing meetings. No, they're after the world. They're after the city. They're after the minds of emerging generations. And you get all the buzz about, no. We are in a sweet spot as a church because God has given us a television channel, given us all these skilled and able people as we're rising up and taking services and tons of other stuff here. We need to recognize who would Satan go after to control their thinking? Who's he going to go after to begin to think them in certain directions? So there's an attack on your mind. Wouldn't be Satan himself. He's not worried about me or you. He's got bigger things to do, but one of his cohorts. Okay, there is a dark world. There is a dark side. They've got an agenda. They don't have power, which is why it's just deception. It's just lies, deception, lies, deception. Let's talk about the word cares for a minute. I'm out of time. All right, let's leave you with something else, and we'll see if we can get through this today in the other services. Let's touch on this because I'll unpack it better later. The Bible says submit to God. Resist the devil is second. Submit to God. Resist the devil. What does it mean to submit to God? You submit to his word. You find out truth. because truth will set you free. You don't play mind games with people because it's just one empty head taking on another empty head. It's just one person's belief system taking on another person's belief system. It's one person with their finite brain trying to get their way with another person, whether it's your spouse, whether it's business, whether it's whatever. But truth, when you know truth, there's freedom. Where there's not God's truth, there's no freedom. The fear of man is a snare. It keeps you controlled by whatever beliefs have taken you out and take you on. One of the most powerful things that we'll unpack later, but I want to touch on it, is in Philippians chapter 4, where it talks about the anxieties and the cares of this world. And it says, rejoice in the Lord. You know, the Bible says that we can have the mind of Christ. We can have His emotions, His feeling, His thinking. But then in verse 9, under the inspiration of Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul breaks down the systematic way of controlling your mind, one of the principles. He says, finally, brethren, and this is about meditation, and he says, whatsoever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, and then he goes on, pure, lovely. He goes on to good report, virtue, praiseworthy. Meditate on these things. Focus on these things. The enemy will come in. He'll attack your mind with a thought. And people who do not question their own thoughts think there's got to be truth to it because I feel it. So many people think everything they sense is God. And very few people have cleaned up their mind and renewed their mind to the ability to hear God and His direction consistently. They listen to their beliefs. Their beliefs rise up in every situation. When a thought comes to your head, the very first word that you're to look at is it true? Well, I think it is. We don't care what you think. The court of law right now that's out is, can you be absolutely sure what you're thinking is true? No, but I think they feel that way about me. I think that that's who they are. And you're judging hearts. You're judging people's intentions. Do it to your spouse, you will drive them away from you. Do it in your job, you'll begin to disrespect the boss. Begin to do it in a business relationship, and what once worked so well begins to be deteriorated because you begin to think along a certain line, or someone begins to attack your thinking to control you and to get what they want out of that business relationship. And if you can't control your own mind, then you take what's not true. Now, if something is not absolutely proven to be true, you are not to dwell or focus on it. You're not to. Now, we think as people that if we focus on this thought, don't know if it's true, but focus on it, we'll know. I don't think that he likes me. In business, I don't think my spouse in any way respects me and looks after me like they used to. I don't think that, pick a thing, whatever Satan wants to separate you from, relationships, church, finances, giving, tithing, whatever he wants to do always starts as a thought. Now, we take that thought and we focus on it. And that thought is a flaming arrow. But now you focus on this thought and you don't run it by the judging system of Jesus. This is the verse of how Jesus kept his mind. Why? Because we can have the mind of Christ. This is how Jesus, the very first thing is it true? Can you absolutely be sure it's true? And if you can't, shut up about it. And if you can't, stop focusing on it. And if you can't, stop thinking about it, because there's something going on. It's a mind game that is coming after your head. It's coming after your emotions. He's coming after something in your world. And he's coming to kill, steal, and destroy. And you'll focus on something that is not true. Now, you might say, but I don't know if it's not true. It doesn't give you the luxury. In fact, it says, unless you absolutely know it's true, you are not to focus on it. Right there would give you phenomenal strength in this life. Do you know how many things you and I worry about that we don't know is true, but we obsess, we focus on it, and the more obsessed, the focus of it brings the obsession into our lives. Obsession is a step before possession. You ever meet somebody who's obsessed with a thought? obsessed with somebody that's done something wrong, obsessed with what they're sure is going on, but they do not know absolutely for sure. And the test of Philippians 4 that Jesus always did, anything that's in the Word, Jesus did. If they're not teaching something in the New Covenant that Jesus didn't do. So you know this is how he kept his mind. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, are true. Doesn't say could be, maybe, possibility. No, they must pass the very first test. Are you absolutely sure that this is true? And if it's not, he's saying, don't think on it. Because if you do, you won't be able to control your mind, your emotions, your thinking, your judgment, your ability to sense and hear and know God, because you won't even do the very first step. If I don't know absolutely it's true, I'm not thinking about it, and I'm not focusing on it. People think I'm naive. People think because I don't care about some things that you don't know what I'm doing. Well, I'm very aware. I'm just not going to focus on it. And if I don't know things for sure, I am not going to take that thing and just worry and stress and fret. Because I want to live long, and you can't with cares and anxieties and stresses. I want my relationships to last. I want things to go strong. So true, is it true? Now, if you stop worrying about that, what would your life feel like? Okay, you don't know it's true, but you're focused on it. What does that focus do to you? It makes me anxious, makes me worried, makes me react to people like I shouldn't. It causes me to say things and my whole day is wrecked. Why? Because I'm focused on a thought that I don't even know absolutely is true. That's 90% of your thinking life. Very good. You want the peace of God? Do the will of God. You want the presence of God? Do what he says. Jesus very clearly says, you want to walk in love, do what I say. This is showing us. Now, because I got to stop here, I'm going to just say, go through the rest of this list. Because if you're convinced it's true and you've proven that it's true, so I'm allowed to focus on it. No, you're not. Does it pass test number two? Is it a noble thought? No, it sucks and it hurts and it's about someone doing wrong. Okay. If it's not a noble thought, you're not to focus on it. You're now aware of it. You are not to focus on it. If it's not just, that means that the word just means righteous. Everybody is in right standing with God, which is what the word just means as well, because of Jesus. So you've been forgiven. Now as you focus on this thing that you know is true, this is not gossip. I know it. Okay, it doesn't matter. Does it pass the noble test? Is it righteous thinking? Or is the enemy taking you into a place where your mouth's destroying people, where the things that you're thinking are breaking you down? Is this pure? Is there a pureness about this? Is it something that's lovely? And the word lovely means friendly towards. Is it of a good report? Is it virtuous, morally good? Well, they did something morally bad, and I saw it, I proved it. You still be aware. You might have to deal with something personally, but to focus your life on that is to give it the reins of the direction of your future. And then the Bible says, meditate on these things, and the peace of God will be with you. Today I'll walk out this teaching because I'll be getting through it. I'll do three different messages. And then next week, get this series as we unpack the way to deal with our mind, because there's a level, there's a place of your ability to think and to focus, to be aware, not naive, and to walk out something so beautiful, so powerful that all your relationships will change. You can't change people, but when you begin to walk, there's no reaction that the enemy can use. As you begin to focus your thinking, as you begin to understand the demonic stronghold, as you begin to understand arguments, theories, reasonings, as you begin to understand his attacks, and then the incredible ability that God has given you and I to walk in a place so incredible that we are like Christ is amazing. And unless you want to stay playing mind games with the devil and every person around you, and everybody's playing mind games, some don't know it and some totally know it. Let's opt out and go for truth. Father, I pray that every one of us would just fall in love with your word, the recipe to an incredible life, the recipe to an incredible future. I pray that our mind will be something so precious to us that we must reprogram it with the phenomenal teachings and the downloads from your word. Help that person here today that's on their last brain cell and doesn't know if they can handle any more of what's going on. Heal brokenhearted. Bring hope to those who haven't even realized these truths. And Father, I pray that as we turn to you in salvation, we'd also turn to you for truth in every area. Father, let every person in this church rise up and let them clearly and calmly sense and know your truth, your direction, and be aware and discerning of all that is going on around them. I pray in your name. Every head bowed for just a moment. For those that are here that would say, Leon, you know, I'm not sure that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I want to lead you in a powerful prayer. It's a prayer that completely changes a person's destiny, changes you from the inside out. It's a prayer of giving your life to Jesus. I'm going to lead you in it right from your seats. But it's crucial that you make a choice. Leon, I don't know if I believe. Believing isn't a happenstance of don't know if I'd. Believing is a choice of who you put your trust in, what you put your trust in. And I don't know what you've tried with your life, but I found only Jesus, and his word works. So before I lead you in a prayer of turning your life over to him, he died for you. He took away your sin, but you'll never experience this incredible benefit unless you personally ask him. Your free will's too powerful. You can do whatever you want. God will never force himself on you. So before I pray, all across the auditorium, all of those who would just say, Leon, yeah, include me. Today, I'm giving my life to Jesus Christ. Would you just open your eyes and wave at me till I see your specific hand and just say, yes, Pastor, include me. Thank you. Others. Thank you. Others. Thank you. Thank you. Others going to this side over here. Don't want to miss you. Those right now at the other campuses, there's a pastor at the front. Just raise your hand. God's dealing with your heart. Something powerful, life-changing is about to happen deep within you, and you're never going to be the same, and it's all for good. I'm going to pray in just a few seconds, just quickly. Raise your hand towards that person right at the front of that campus. And let's all of us pray for these amazing folks making this decision. Just say this with your mouth. Just say, Dear Lord, thank you for sending Jesus, who died in my place, that I could be forgiven. Jesus, come into my life. I'm following you. I'm placing my trust in you. Guide me from now on. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. That's your choice. It's powerful, beautiful.
For more information on Leon and his teachings, visit leonfontaine.com.